on Daf Lamed Vav Amin Aleph, and we're going to start after the two dots, four lines down from the wide lines, and we're talking about something that's called either Korah or Kurah. There may be different pronunciations of the word. We're going to call it Korah for our purposes. And this is called the Chelek Harach Sheba Anfei Adekel. This is the soft part of the branches of a palm tree. We can call it palm shoots, if you like. Shehu Tov L'Machal, which is actually edible. And the question is, what bracha do we make when we eat these palm shoots? And that's going to be machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Shmuel. Now, it seems that every year this dekel grows new shoots, new anofim. On an annual basis, it grows these shoots, and they're quite soft. But that's only for a certain period of time. After a period of time, they become they become dry, and they become like wood. And the Rambam here in his Pirush Mishnayot describes this as a white kind of a tree. He doesn't seem to identify it as a day tree necessarily, but he says nechtach me'el yono shaladeka, like it's something that you cut off from the top of the date tree, of the palm tree. And it's like, he calls it like hard cheese, almost. That's what he describes it as. I guess it has a white color to it, maybe it has a green color to it. The Meiri writes that these are branches that grow around the dekel, closer to the ground. And mischadshim b'chol shana, they replace themselves on an annual basis. And if you eat them within that year, then they're still edible and soft. So Rabbi Yehuda Amar, he says, Borei pri ha'adama. In other words, these shoots, even though you and I would have said maybe it's like a tree, it's like a bark, nevertheless, he says it has the status of a pri. Although it's a pri, he says he's not willing to go as far as to call it pri ha'etz and make the bracha Borei pri ha'etz. It's called pri ha'adama, because it grows from the ground. The priya eitz is something that grows from something that grows from the ground. So anything that's part of the gufa ilan, according to Rabbi Yehuda, even though it's edible, it doesn't get a bori priya eitz. It's not a priya eitz. It's the eitz itself. And on the eitz, you would make a bori priya dom, because the eitz grows from the ground. So this is the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, that it does have a status of a pri. But nevertheless, a Korah is not a pri ha'etz, it's a pri ha'adama. Shmuel Amar, shakol niya bidvaro. Shmuel says that the Korah doesn't have a shame pri at all. It's still considered part of the tree. And we could say about Shmuel that anything that's part of the tree, even if it's edible, gets a bor pri, it gets a shakol niya bidvaro. Perhaps we could suggest that a shakol niya bidvaro is sort of like a general bracha. Anything that doesn't fit into peri, but it's edible, will get itself a shakol niya bidvaro. I just wanted to read the explanation of the Ra'ah on Shmuel. So Rabbi Yehuda says that bor pri adam is perihu. As we said before, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Korah is considered peri and therefore gets a bor pri adam. But Shmuel says shakol niya bidvaro hol v'sofo lehikashos. Ultimately, it get hard like a tree. So the Ra'ah says shelo omar Shmuel shedavish sofo lehakshos or lehikashos mevorchen olav shahakol rak bedavish ein hu atzmo pri. So just to summarize, according to the Ra'ah, the reason why Shmuel holds that Korah gets a shakel and not a and nothing else. And the Gemara explains, because it's sofal hakshos, that's because it's not a pri. It's not atzmo shel pri, but rather it's an eitz. But if it would have been atzmo shel pri, then Shmuel wouldn't have been bothered by sofal hakshos. So Shmuel says, hol the sofal lahakshos, or lehikashos, therefore it has the status of an eitz. And if it has the status of an eitz, then it's not a pri. And if it's not a pri, you can't make the bracha bori pri. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says, well, right now it's considered a pri from the adama, because like any vegetable that grows from the ground that's edible, here too the shoots are edible. And the emphasis should be on the fact that people eat it. You know, it's not some crazy guy, you know. If you had somebody who would eat something that's not edible, you know, maybe you'd make a shakal on it. If you know, the Gemara is going to talk later on about someone who eats kemach. You know, he eats actual flour. You know, in its state as flour. So the best you could do in that case is make a shahakal, if you make a bracha at all. But here he says it's edible. So we have Rabbi Yehuda's shita. So Rabbi Yehuda is not concerned with the fact that it's sofali kashos. He's concerned, he's putting all the emphasis on the fact that it's edible in its present state. It grows from the ground, and therefore the appropriate bracha is bori pri ha'etz. Amalei Shmuel Rabbi Yehuda. Now here we see kind of a reversal, that even though Shmuel disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda, but Shinina, he calls him the sharp one, he gives him a compliment, he says, Kavasek Mistavra, as if to say, on second thought, your position is more attractive, more logical, and even if it's sofali kashos, we should still be making a bar pri adam. And even though Shmuel says, I wouldn't have said that initially, intuitively, but I have a proof from a halacha that it didn't occur to me, but this analogy is going to support Rabbi Yehuda, and that's Daha Tznon. Tznon is a radish, sofali kashos. In other words, you have to sort of chaparayin, you have to cut it off, harvest it very early. If you harvest it early enough, it is edible, it's soft, but if you wait too long, it becomes eitz, it becomes hard like a piece of wood. Nevertheless, we still make a bracha borei pri hadama. So we don't look at the growth and the food in terms of its ultimate, if you leave it on the tree, and what will happen to it, but we look at it as well, we chapterine, as we said, we so to speak, prematurely, but rightfully so. We cut it off the tree, and now it's edible, and we make a borei pri hadama. So we see, says Shmuel, that Rabbi Yehuda's principle is correct, that even if something is sofali kashos, like for example the case of Korah, nevertheless we make a bori pri ha'adama velohi. And now the Gemara says that the analogy of Shmuel to Tznon, to the radish, between Korah and Tznon, is not a valid analogy. In other words, what the Gemara is going to say now is that forget about sofo lehi koshos. That's not the main problem, so to speak. Rabbi Yehuda's his revolution is not sofo lehi koshos. That we could have accepted, that even if it's sofo lehi koshos, right now it's edible, he cut it off the tree, we're going to make a bar pri adama. But Rabbi Yehuda is lechora incorrect for another reason. There's another problem with Korah, which is a very serious problem in Hilchas Brachos, and it's going to change the nature of the bracha. Tznon nati inshi adaiti de pugla, dikla lo nati inshi adaiti de korah. The Gemara is saying the following. I'm going to sort of reverse the order because it makes it a little easier for me. In the case of a palm tree, when you plant a palm tree, you're interested in the dates that'll grow, the pears that'll grow from this decal down the line. You're not interested in the actual shoots of the palm tree. You know, again, you know, somebody could come along and cut off the shoots, and he can eat it. It's edible, but when it's still soft. But nevertheless, that's not your original intention in planting it. So again, the Gemara now is introducing a whole new element in the equation, and that's the intention of the person when he planted. And again, I don't think he means the intention of Joe or Larry or Sam. I think he means what's generally accepted. You know, when we plant date trees and palm trees, it's not because we want to eat the palm, the shoots of the palm, but and this, by the way, I'm just pointing out, don't ask me any questions now because we're so early in Hilchos Brachos, so I can't answer any questions and I apologize for that. But we're going to see later on that, for example, the Chazon Ish has a very unique shita that on orange juice we should be making a Bor Priya Eitz. And the reason is because when we plant certain kinds of oranges, they're called juice oranges, then it was done for the specific intent of taking the juice out. So I'm just mentioning that, then don't ask me any questions about it. I'm just trying to point out that the intention of the planting, meaning the ultimate goal, the agenda of what you want to get out of the planting, plays a major role in determining which bracha to make. So the Gemara is saying here that there's no way that you can consider the shoots of the palm, the branches of the palm, as a peri, because he was never interested in planting the date tree for the sake of the shoots. The shoots cannot be considered the peris. There are peris of this date tree, perhaps, but not the shoots. And therefore, Korah is not a peri. Why? Because in Hilchos Brachos, it all depends on your intention. So now Shmuel had an equation, an analogy between Snon and Korah. There's no valid logical analogy here, because in the case of Tznon, he actually plants the Tznon, in the Gemara's language, not the Inchi, Adaita de Pugla. Pugla is the soft part of the Tznon. So again, even though the Tznon ultimately will harden, and we still say, we're still going to recite a Bori Priya Hadoma on Tznon, but that's for a different reason. Why? Because we're not interested in sofala lihi koshos. That itself, sofali koshos in and of itself, is not a variable that would lower the bracha or undermine the bracha. But we do have another variable which doesn't apply to Tznon, but does apply in the case of Korah, that would, whenever you check off that variable, it would reduce the bracha, would undermine the bracha. And that is nate inchi. So in the case of Korah, it's lo nate inchi. In the case of Tznon, it's nate inchi. By the way, since you have an English translation from you, which I don't have, what do you have as a translation of the word pugla? If you can share that with me. Soft radish. Okay, so there's the soft radish which was plucked prematurely. When I say prematurely, I mean early enough that it's still edible. And then there's the harder radish, which is why it's known as called sofali koshos. But don't bring any proof from Tznon to the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. Why? Because Rabbi Yehuda's, if Rabbi Yehuda was talking about something similar to Tznon, which would mean that it was sofali koshos, but nevertheless, that's why I planted it. I was interested in prematurely harvesting it so that when it's soft, I can eat it. So then sofali koshos would not bother me, and Rabbi Yehuda would be right. But the problem here with Korah is a different problem. The problem, the objection to Shmuel and Korah, is because of the lo nati inchi, that it was not planted for the purpose of the shoots, of the branches. Okay, now the Gemara wants to know, is this really so? In other words, you're, in a sense, supporting Shmuel and rejecting Rabbi Yehuda. I don't mean that literally, but I'm saying just in terms of the logical structure, you are supporting Shmuel that if it's lo nati inchi, then we're going to lower the bracha to a general bracha called Shahakol, and that's going to be the halacha for Korah. Well, I'm going to prove to you from something called slaf, and we'll have to see about this caper bush exactly what slaf is, and it has many, many different parts to it. He gives an introduction. He has four parts to the slaf. But in the case of slaf, we're going to have again lo nati inchi, and yet the bracha is going to be bor pri adama. When I say bor pri adama, I'm talking about two out of the four parts of a slaf. Those are the two that are going to engage our minds. So let's just mention what a tzlaf is. A tzlaf is called in English a caper bush, and it produces berries, and you plant them for the sake of the berries. So the nati inchi, just like we said in the case of, let's say, a palm tree, where your purpose in planting a palm tree is to get the dates, again, not all palm trees produce dates. There are hundreds of different species of palm trees. But in any event, so you're not interested in the wood. The same is true in the case of tzlaf. There are certain parts of this caper bush that are edible, believe it or not, even though they're not berries. And his purpose is to ultimately produce berries. And in that sense, tzlaf is a perfect comparison to the case of korah. Why? Because again, I'm not talking about the berries of the tzlaf. I'm talking about what's called the tamros and the avionos. So let's see what the tamros are. The tamros are date-like outgrowths. In other words, they're not really dates. It's not the berry itself, but it's certain kind of outgrowths. And then we have something called evionos. The evionos are the berries themselves, and that's the purpose for which you actually plant this caper bush. Then we have something called kafrisin. Kafrisin are husks that cover the berries. And we have now olim, which are the leaves. Now what we're going to see is that the olim and the tamros are really part of the bush itself, if you follow me. They're not the berries, the avionos. And according to the logic of the Gemara, in the Velohi that we just learned, if it's not planted for the purpose of those parts of the plant, but rather for the ultimate fruits, then we reduce its bracha. It's not considered a pre-hadama. And that's where the Gemara is going to have a problem. If it wasn't planted expressly for that intention, for that purpose, we don't make the specific bracha, but rather it falls into the default bracha. The default bracha is shahakol varei tzlaf. What are you going to tell me about tzlaf? That his ultimate goal in the case of planting tzlaf, this caper bush, is for the avionos, which is called pircha. Pircha means the peri of a caper tree are the berries. And yet, nevertheless, visanya, I have visanya, you may have usnan in your Gemara, but the correct use is visanya. We learned in a brisa that almine nitzpa, again, nitzpa is the generic term of a tzlaf. It's basically synonymous with tzlaf, but we use the word nitzvah when we want to talk about the different parts of a tzlaf. And the brisa is going to take the tzlaf and divide it into two and two. In other words, the tzlaf has four different parts that are edible. Two fall into one category. They belong to the, if you want to call it, the bush itself. You know what I mean? I call it a bush, but I mean like the tree itself, if you follow me. And two belong to the berries. So ala olin v'ala tmaros, right, the leaves and these day-like outgrowths called tmaros, omer bori pri adam, even though again his ultimate goal and his purpose when he planted the tzlaf was the avionos, meaning the berries. But nevertheless, they get a bori pri adama, and this is gonna undermine the Gemara's. If you follow this, now follow. I hope this is not confusing to you when I say the support for Shmuel, right? The support for Shmuel, who took Korah down to a shahakal, was because lo nati inchi. Well, here's the case lo nati inchi, and nevertheless, we make a bori pri adama. Now, when it comes to the avionos, that's already the date, so to speak, meaning the berries. And leave out kafrisin for just one second. I'll come right back to kafrisin. Omer bor priya eitz. Certainly, the berries themselves deserve a bor priya eitz. Now, kafrisin are the husks that cover the berries. So this is a major issue in Hilchas bor priya eitz. Bor priya eitz in Hilchas brachos and parakeitz v'vorchim is an enterprise unto itself. There are parts of a peel on the outside of a fruit which are edible. You know, now today, I mean, it's not a good example, but they take orange peels and they add it to chocolate. You know, you can get chocolate that's made with orange peels.
They can't do that. Or I think they still do some places.
So there's going to be a whole gots of business. How do we view the peels, the coverings of a fruit, when those coverings are themselves edible? Do we view them as part of the priyat? So right now, again, this is going to be the next sugi that we're going to learn of Mitzvah Hashem. I hope we'll still get to it today. I'm not sure. Is what's the status of peels and husks and all sorts of coverings over fruits? Do they still retain the bracha of the fruit? And this particular brisa that we're learning now would say yes. And therefore the kafrisin is considered a priyat and they get the bracha of both priyat. But in any event, we've now come to the conclusion that despite the fact that lo nati inchi, nevertheless it retains a bracha as a pri. Again, you can't make a bore pri ha'etz on these olin and tomorrows, because it's not something that's produced from the etz, so it's not a pri ha'etz, but it's something that's produced from the ground, and therefore it's a pri ha'adama. So in essence, this price is really a support for Rabbi Yehuda, which we worked very hard to reject Rabbi Yehuda in the case of Korah, because Rabbi Yehuda is saying that despite the fact that you're missing nate inchi, nevertheless you still retain the bracha of Bor Pri Adoma. So I'm not going to ask the farmer, so to speak, what his intention was when he planted it. I'm just going to ask if it's edible. And people normally would cut it down if they want to eat it, even before they produce the fruit. Oh. So now the Gemara wants to say that, you know what, maybe we misunderstand slav. We can still retain our principle. It's a very fundamental principle in Hilchos Brachos that we look at the intention of the planting, but we thought that slav did not have any intention for the olim and the tomorrow. So all the intention was for the Vyona. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, tzlaf nati inchi adaiti deshusa. Shusa, these sprouts. In other words, it's not only that he plants it for the purpose of the berries, but he plants it also for the olin and tomorrow. So in other words, these parts are really worth something on the market, if I could say it that way. And therefore, the intention in the planting inherently is not only for the berries, but also the avionos, but also for the olin and the tomorrows. But dikla, when you plant a date tree, lo nati inchi adaiti the korah. You know, maybe by taking off the korah, these anofim, he's going to end up with less dates. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. I'm just using it sort of what we call a saber to ozen. In other words, he wants to produce a very strong dekel tree. So he would rather allow these anofim to remain on the tree without cutting them down, so that eventually they'll get hard and you'll have a very healthy, you know, healthy date tree, a palm tree. So the Gemara concludes, Afal gav de kilsa Shmuel Rabbi Yehuda. You shouldn't think that because Shmuel said chinana, what was the word, chinana, I'm sorry, and he praised Shmuel, and he praised Rabbi Yehuda, that you should make a bori pri adama on Korah, Afal gav de kilsa Shmuel Rabbi Yehuda, hilchasa kavasi de Shmuel. In other words, we will adopt this principle in brachos. La halacha, says the Gemara, that heichad lo nati inchi, it goes down to a shahakol. We will not go as far as Rabbi Yehuda because we reinterpreted tzlaf. And in the reinterpretation of tzlaf, we have check off the box of nati inchi, adaita de shusa, which means adaita de olimu tomorrows. But if it was a case like Korah, where it was lava daite, the netiyah was not done for the purpose of the Korah, on the contrary, he should leave the Korah as long as he can in order to produce a very hard anofin, the anofin should be solid, then Rabbi Yehuda is not correct la halacha, and it wasn't planted for that purpose, and therefore it's not called a priyadoma, because priyadoma is defined by your intention.
I know where this is probably beyond what we can talk about now, but two questions on this. One, what if it's a wild bush and it's not planted by anyone? So you tend to the planter, you know, there might have berries, right. It might have leaves. And
so, Eric, that's what I say. Yeah. Again, unless you change the botany of it, right. You know, that's a different story. But if the botany is the same, we're not going to tap the farmer on the back, you know, and ask him, please tell us, what was your intention? There's got to be... Are you familiar with the principle of Bala Daita Sokol Odom? Anyway, there's a certain principle in halacha that appears all over Shas that we define things in objective terms. For example, the Gemara talks about a case where in Hilchos Ratzicha, in murder, when he throws a stone into a group of people, and the Gemara says, well, did he hit a Jew? Did he hit a non-Jew? Is he chayv or not? We're not going to ask him, you know, where was the stone going? We're going to base it on Rove and Kol Kavua Kevech Tal Bechtit. I mean, I don't know if that's a good example. In Yeish, for example, let's say you lose something which is called a Zuto Shel Yam, you know, it goes down to the bottom of the sea. So he makes a declaration that I know my ring fell to the bottom of the sea, I'm going to hire all the scuba divers in the world and we're going to find it. It's still called Yeish. Butler Dait Disco. We're not interested in the individual. In other words, the halacha operates with objective terms.
I guess what I'm saying is there are types of things that people don't plant but that grow wild.
So again, as long as the botany is the same, then it's not the issue. Because again, we're not interested in we don't need to analyze the mindset psychologically of the person who planted it. We're going to look at the botany and we're going to say that as far as the veld, as far as you know what people in general are interested in, that's going to determine whether not the inchi or not. So again, I mentioned to you the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish is going to describe these oranges as being different than eating oranges. You follow what I'm saying? So I don't have to go down to the farmers in Florida and ask them why they planted these orange trees, but, or California, wherever they planted them. The Chazon Ish is going to say, well, these are juice oranges. Like 90% of the pre is the liquid. So the liquid is the pre. Why? Because that's the natty inch. Again, I don't want to get into details about this.
But what about olive oil? Olive oil
is going to be a sugya because, well, actually the Gemara is interested in olive oil for a different reason, why it's not like yayin, which gets its own bracha. But olive oil would be a bar priyates, right? Because the purpose of the olives is to get the juice. So that would be similar to the Chazon Ish. Or let's see if we can go on, because I want to talk to you about this concept called kafrisin. Because in the brice that we learned now, kafrisin get a bar priya eitz, even though these are the husks that cover the fruit, but they're edible, and they cover the berries. And now we're going to talk about orla. Now orla, as you know, is a mitzvah tluya ba'aretz, but there's orla in chutz la'aretz. Orla in chutz la'aretz is a little different than orla in Eretz Yisrael. It's not in the Torah itself, because the Torah in Parshas Kedoshim says, kisavo el ha'aretz, unetatem, etc. But chutz la'aretz, as far as orla, is what's called halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai. And as we go through this Gemara, we're going to see that halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai, again, to some extent, is almost like a derabbanon. Again, it's much more high powered than a derabbanon. But in spekos, in doubts, if you don't know whether this is oral or not, then in chutz la'aretz, because it's only halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai, then we're going to be mekil. There's going to be room for leniency. So let's see if we can figure out the status of tzlaf as far as orla is concerned. Because again, the Torah says that orla only applies to peros. So we need a pri. So in a certain sense, tzlaf in terms of orla and tzlaf in terms of brachos are two sides of the same coin. If you're going to determine that the parts of the tzlaf, we said there are four parts of the tzlaf, is pri, then it's included in orla. If it's not a pri, then it's not included in orla. So let's see what the din of tzlaf is. Now, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav is going to address the status of tzlaf shel orla in chutz la'aretz. And what we're going to be medayik is that because he mentioned chutz la'aretz, apparently the din would change in Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, we're always more machmir because orla is mitzvah satulius ba'aretz. The Torah says explicitly that when you come into the land and you plant the trees. So he says the following. What do you do with this tzlaf of orla? Orla is the first 3 years of its produce. Zorek es avyonos. You know, it's for sure the berries themselves, that's the pri. Nobody questions that. In fact, we said that in Hilchos Brachos, you make a bari pri ha'etz on the avyonos of a tzlaf. However, with regard to the kafrisin, ochel es ha'kafrisin. Now, it's that husk or covering over the berries, even though it's edible, it's not called a pri. And hence, it's not included in orla, at least in chutz la'aretz. Again, we'll get back to that point later. So the Gemara says, Lemeira de'evyonos peri, v'kafrisin lav peri. According to Rabbi Yudom Arav, it comes out that kafrisin doesn't have the status of a peri. Well, what are we going to do with the brisa that we just said? Let's requote the brisa. Reminu, we have a stira from the brisa. Almine nitzpa, the various parts of the tzlav. Al ha'olin v'al ha'tmaros omer bro priyadoma v'al ha'vyonos v'al ha'kafrisin omer bore pri ha'etz. Clearly, kafrisin, because they're edible, even though it's the husk on the outside of the pri, retains the status of a pri. The pri encompasses the entire entity of the pri and its covering. So how could Rav say, therefore, that a tzlaf shel orla is ochel es ha-kafrisin? How could he eat the kafrisin? And the Gemara answers, hu diomek Rabbi Akiva. Because Rav holds like the sheet of Rabbi Akiva. Now, once we learn Rabbi Akiva, we're going to wonder why Rav had to make his statement. He just said, Allah k Rabbi Akiva. That's going to be the Gemara's kasha down the line. This time, we learned that in Mishnah in Masros, in the fourth parak, Rabbi Eliezer, Omer, Tzlaf Misaser. You have to take Maser from Tzlaf. Now, keep in mind that Maser applies to number one, dagon, right, the five species of grains, and number two, it applies to tirosh v'yitzar. And we're going to wonder why Rabbi Eliezer says that tzlaf, even as far as the tmaros, now forget about the tmaros for a minute, even avyonos, right, is a big chiddush here, because the avyonos is a pri, and this gets into issues about maser in peros. There's a tremendous machlok in the Rambam on the one hand, and all the other Rishonim on the other hand. And all the Rishonim assume that maser in peros, with the exception of tirosh v'yitzar, is only the Rabbanon. The Rambam says that peros ilon achayv and trumas amaisis doraisa. That's the Rambam's unique revolution. But in any event, let's say on the Rabbanon level, anything that's called a pri is chayev and maser. So Rabbi Eliezer says that the tmaros, which we said before are these date-like outgrowths, and the avyonos, which are the berries, the kafrisin that cover the avyonos, are all considered peri. And if that be the case, then we begin to understand why on the kafrisin you make a bar priyetz according to the brisa, but Rav, who says that there's no din of orla on the kafrisin, he's holding like Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva omer eino misaser el avyonos bilvat. Only the berries are considered a pri, mipneshu pri, but as far as the tmaros and as far as the kafrisin is concerned, they're not considered peros. And if they're not considered peros, then we have two nafgaminas. Number one, actually three nafgaminas, if you will. Number one, there's no chi of maser. Number two, there's no orla. And number three, you would not make a bar priya eitz. So it's clear, according to Rabbi Akiva, that on kafrisin, in the best case scenario, you'd make a shakal niyavidvara. The Bryce, on the other hand, that we learned, says that we maintain the bracha bar priya eitz in the case of kafrisin, because kafrisin is called a pri. And now we understand why, according to Rabbi Eliezer at least, there would be a din of chiyuv maser on the kafrisin of tzlaf, because it has the status of pri. We also understand, therefore, against Rav, that the kafrisin would be included in the iser orla. But Rav, on the other hand, maintains that kafrisin is not a pri, and the brach would be shahakal, and there would be no chiyuv maser. So basically, Rav is reiterating what we saw in Rabbi Akiva, that as kafrisin is concerned, there's no chiyuv maser because it's not a pri, and therefore it's not chayev in orla. It's not included in the iser orla, and therefore ochel es kafrisin. So, fakta gemara v'neima alocha k'Rabbi Akiva. Why does Rav present his thesis about kafrisin as a brand new revolution? Why didn't he just say, "I'm standing on the shoulders of Rabbi Akiva"? So Gemara answers, "E amar halacha k'Rabbi Akiva." If he would have just said halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, hava mina, I would have thought that Rav paskins completely like Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is talking about maser de'oraisa, And even so, he says that there's no chiyuv maaser in Kafrisan, meaning Rabbi Akiva took the ball all the way to the finish line. And he said that Kafrisan is not a pri, period. In no way, no how. That Kafrisan doesn't even sound like a pri, or taste like a pri, or it has no similarity to a pri. And therefore, when we talk about arla afilu ba'aretz, in terms of Kafrisan, Rabbi Akiva would say that even in Eretz Yisrael, where arla is a full-fledged doraisa, we would be allowed to eat the Kafrisan. Kamash Malon, Rav wanted to say no. We're not going to accept Rabbi Akiva hook, line, and sinker. We're not going to be make it like Rabbi Akiva to consider Kafrisan as lav shem pri, even as far as arla and Eretz Yisrael, as far as doraisa. But rather, we're going to rely on Rabbi Akiva to create a suffix. And call a mekil ba'aretz halacha kamoso b'chutzlaretz. That if Rabbi Akiva is mekil on arla in the case of Kafrisan shel tzlaf in Eretz Yisrael, we're not going to rely on him in Eretz Yisrael, but at least we're going to paskin like him in chutzlaretz, because in chutzlaretz we have a rule that arla's chutzlaretz is like a derabbanan as far as sfeikus is concerned, and we could be mekil in a suffik and rely on Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva is a fallback position in terms of Kafrisan shel tzlaf in the case of arla's chutzlaretz. Or it's low. We're not going to go as far as paskening like Rabbi Akiva against Rabbi Eliezer in Eretz Yisrael, because in Eretz Yisrael we have an Isur Ola Doraisa, so we're going to have to be Machmir, and we're going to have to assume that Kafrisan is also because of this din of Eretz Yisrael as being Ola Doraisa Vinema. So why did Rav just say Aloch Rabbi Akiva b'chutz laretz? That would have been the simple formula of Rav. So Yomar Hachiv Gemara says if he would have said those words, Havaminu, we would have thought, Hani Mili, that's only Gabi Maser. In the case of Maser, we're going to make this distinction between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laretz, right? The Gabi Maser, Elon. Here's Rabbi Akiva's case, the Ba'aretz Kufa Derabbanan, right? Because again, we're holding like all the Rishonim against the Rambam, that Peiros HaElon in Trumas HaMaisus is only Derabbanan. The only Peiros that the Torah says is included in Maaser, Trumas HaMaisus is only Dagon, Tirosh V'Yitzar, means grapes and olives. But other than grapes and olives, all other fruit trees are on a Doraisa level excluded from Maaser. Aval Gabi Orla, the Ba'aretz Midoraisa, since in the case of Arla, we're dealing with an Isa Doraisa that covers all Perosa Elon. All Perosa Elon, the first 3 years, are also in Eretz Yisrael Doraisa. Ema, we might have said that Bechutz Laretz Nami Nigzar. We should set up a Gzera. We would say the following, that Kafrisan should be considered in Chutz Laretz like a Peri, and we should be machmir and orlas kafrisin of tzlaf and chutzlar. So the reason for that is because of gzera nigzar, we're going to be afraid that he might eat kafrisin of orla in Eretz Yisrael, and in Eretz Yisrael he'd be violating an isur d'oraisa of orla kamash malon. That's what Rav wants to tell us. No, that as far as Arla and Chutzlaretz, we rely on Rabbi Akiva, because halacha kedivrei hamekil in Chutzlaretz. So we'll just learn another few lines of the Gemara. We'll end. Ravina Ashkechei LeMarbar Avashi. Ravina found Marbar Avashi, who was eating peros of tzlaf of Orla and Chutzlaretz, because Zarek, and he was throwing the avionos, the berries out, because that's Orla even in Chutzlaretz, because but he ate the Kafrisan. Amar Lei, so Ravina says to him, my daita, why do you do this? Why you make it in Kafrisan in Chutzlaretz, ki Rabbi Akiva de Mekil? Is Li Evid Mar Kibei Shammai? Why not go a step further and rely on Beit Shammai, who tells us Mekili Tvei? He's going to tell us that even the Avyonos do not have the status of a pri, and that's going to be the sugya now of Beis Hillel Beit Shammai and Klei Akerem. And in Mitzvah Shem, we'll pick that up the next time. Okay.